Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another special edition of the 40 Scenes Fire American Soccer Show. The United States losing to... Okay, if you heard Juan Arango and myself on Rabble today, you heard basically the worst U.S. performance in a friendly. And once again, it was all deflated after that opening goal by Hulk early in the first half. Joining me right now, Kartik Krishnar from World Soccer Talk. Kartik, double-barreled shotguns are out. We're going to go a-blazing. In your mind, that was, or was it, the worst performance the United States has ever had against, not just against Brazil, but against any top nation in world football?
I would have to say yes. I mean, I know the obvious scoreline is that 4-0 Spain game in Foxborough a few years ago towards the end of the Bob Bradley era. But let me remind folks that Bradley, we were starting the Gold Cup a couple days later. Bradley played a watered-down squad. There was a master class from Spain. Spain was in their moment. At that point, they were far and away the best international team. I know Juan Arango gets angry, your podcast partner tonight, when I say this, but I think that Spain team was the best team in the history of international football, better than the Brazil team from 58 to 70, believe it or not. I just think they were that good at times. So, this Brazil team is not that good. I mean, we can get into Brazil in a few minutes, but I mean, I think the team Mexico is playing right now, this Argentine side, is a better. They got some issues at the back, but going forward, they're more dangerous than Brazil. And I mean, they might have put 10 up against the United States tonight. It's Argentina, Belgium, Argentina, Germany, those types of national teams. If we were playing them tonight, they might have scored 10. It defies explanation how poor the United States were tonight. It's not just, there's not just one or two issues we need to get into in this show. There are about a dozen, and I guess we can start now.
We're going to have to start now because let me just explain something here. You know, in the first half, I thought they at least had a decent start, and then when that ball was crossed and it hits the inside of the near post, of course, on the near side of the field, far side for them. You know, the ball deflected off the post, back out, and Hulk was in the great position, right place, right time. He powered
right,
it past
unmarked.
Three defenders unmarked. He was technically was marked,
yeah,
but not
watching.
Really
These
brought
guys were
up
ball
against.
Watching.
That's all it was, ball watching. And
Our
after
guys were
that,
ball watching.
That's the truth. They were ball watching. But after that, Kartik, they had no idea. They had no passion. They had no chance of going up the field because not because they're going to get outclassed, which they probably were going to be outclassed anyway, but the United States had no purpose to play after that goal by Hulk. That's what infuriates me.
Yeah, and the 4-1 scoreline, quite frankly, flatters the United States. Neymar should have had a third, hit it wide, rare miss for him. Then he had then Firmino had an opportunity. If he laid it off to the other guy making the run after Alvarado gave the ball away, that's a goal. Then obviously Neymar's free kick also. So there are three more chances to add a fifth goal. But the United States just kind of standing around and watching. No urgency, no impetus going forward. I don't know if these guys have quit on the manager, if the manager is meddled too much. Again, there are guys he's not picking. Sasha Kleistin, Benny Feilhaber, Eric Lehigh, several other guys. That we finally saw Jonathan Spector back in the team today. It's tough time. I don't know what he's doing. Tim Ream at left back. Bedoya in a holding role. There's some bizarre stuff going on. Go ahead.
I'll say it right now, Kartik. Dax McCarty, the ginger ninja for the New York Red Bulls, the Orlando native, should
right,
have
Winter
been
Winter Park,
in
the
this
neighboring
game.
City to Orlando. He's a Winter Park native. I know
Winter Park,
folks
pardon,
from Winter Park
yes.
will get upset if I say he's from Orlando or you or I say he's from Orlando. So he's from Winter Park. Yeah,
Winter
the ginger,
Park, that's right.
A guy who was an integral part of Thomas Rogan's U-20 teams, has not been called up to this national team under Jurgen Klinsmann. It's shocking. Benny Feilhaber is another guy. Let me not forget him. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what Eric Lehigh did to just be dropped because he's playing regularly in England in the championship. Spector is playing regularly. Finally, Spector got recalled today, but I think that was just, you know, that one he had to do well. I mean, Spector hasn't been in the team for 3 years, 3.5 years, actually almost 4 years since the Italy game in early 2012. I don't understand it. I mean, so he has these preferences for players. He falls in love with guys. The idea of starting DeAndre Yedlin is madness, okay? Maybe he won't start Yedlin against Mexico. I don't know. But Yedlin is still an incomplete player. And
yep.
Klinsmann got away with it, right? Klinsmann got away with it a year and a half ago. When DeAndre Yedlin got called in for that Mexico friendly in April of 2014, we were thinking, this is kind of strange. And then when he was on the World Cup roster, we thought it was even weirder. Then he had a good run out in the World Cup, but he's not. He still gives the ball away. He's out of position a lot. But he's always called into the team. Breck Shea, when he's fit, is always going to get called in. Breck Shea might be in the team for the playoff game against Mexico. I have to say this. I mean, the U.S. really better hope DeMarcus Beasley's fit.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think Beasley and the other guy that really probably needs to be fit is Fabian Johnson.
Oh, absolutely. Fabian Johnson is very, very important for the national team going forward, not just because of the playoff, but because these qualifiers begin in November. We already have one of those two semifinal spots taken already as St. Vincent and Grenadines gets a late goal that could have forced extra time. Because Aruba made it 2-2. They were leading 2-0, and then all of a sudden the away goal came from Slater in the 84th minute down in Aruba, and that gives St. Vincent Grenadines the away goal and gives them the 3-2 aggregate victory. So we already have Trinidad and Tobago ready to go. We got St. Vincent and Grenadines ready to go, and it's all depending on what's going to happen between Antigua and Barbuda and Guatemala. It's halftime right now. Guatemala, Antigua, and Barbuda, it's 0-0. Jamaica, they get one to level the aggregate.
Yeah,
they
need
Nicaragua.
Another. They need another.
They need another.
I've got that game on right now. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I have the game on myself as well. They need another to at least force
and
a victory.
I don't know if Schaefer made this decision or if it's just a circumstance, but obviously they took a strong team to the Copa and then to the Gold Cup. They've got a really watered-down team. It seems like they didn't take Nicaragua very seriously, and they've got a lot of guys from their domestic league. You know, they have Darren Maddox and Giles Barnes, but they're missing a lot of their English-based players, the guys that were stars in the Gold Cup, and they're really up against it now. Those guys, I'm sure they were going to call those guys in for the group stage, but I think they thought they could get through these two legs without calling the guys back, and that's always a huge risk.
Yeah, it really is. We're in the 80th minute right now, down in Nicaragua. Jamaica is up 1-0, but aggregate is leveled at 3, but Nicaragua has the 3-1 advantage on the away goals. So we'll see what
Correct.
Happens here. We got 10 minutes to go in this matchup. You can watch it either on BN Sports or BN Sports Connect online. But back to the United States, Kardik, I've never seen our guys just
quit.
Mentally give up
after
the opening goal.
This was a humiliating performance. As I said, the Spain game was not as bad. I mean, I have to tell you, the 1990 World Cup wasn't this bad. I was around for that. I remember watching those games. We were just outclassed. I think we're seeing some really bad signs. The goalkeeper situation is the one thing that saves us from greater embarrassments normally. The Panama game and the Gold Cup, Guzan had to make 10 or 12 saves, some ridiculous number. Let's not forget, I know there are people who say to me, well, including colleagues of ours, that say, well, you know, you think Belgium has the best team in the world, because I do internationally. I think they have the player for player the best team. And we took them to extra time. We were within a Wando shot of beating them. Don't you think Klinsmann's doing a good job? Well, no. Well, actually, Tim Howard had to make about 50 saves in that game. Okay?
Absolutely.
I mean, we should have been beaten 5-0. So this is nonsense. Well, we are getting opened up. We're getting exposed. Anytime we play a better side, they're getting a lot more chances than they used to when Bradley or Arena were the coach, or even when Samson was the coach. When Samson was the coach, we petered out in that World Cup, right? Things didn't go well, but teams weren't getting it wasn't like target practice for the opposing teams, which is what it's become recently. This was humiliating, this performance. I think the performance against Denmark in a friendly in earlier in the year was humiliating. I think the first 60 minutes against the Netherlands, we seem to forget because of the result how bad we were for 60 minutes in that game and how many chances they had and how Huntelaar was just getting chance after chance. The experimentation on the back line isn't working. So I think we're going to have to go to something really, really locked down for this one-off. And it is a one-off. It's not a two-leg tie. It's not a home-and-home, which is good because we can – flukish results can happen in one-offs, really. I mean, historically
really?
In this sport. Yeah. And right now,
no, you're absolutely right.
Mexico would, yeah, if the U.S. beat Mexico, it would be a fluke. Because it, so what I'm saying here is I think we're going to have to go back to having two kind of really pure fullbacks playing. You probably move Fabian Johnson to the right side, play him at right back, even though he hasn't played there for the United States in a while. Well, I guess he did last year. Play him at right back. You play Beasley at left back. You're going to drop DeAndre Yedlin. He doesn't need to be in the team. And then you play I don't know about Omar Gonzalez. I like Michael Orozco, actually. Even though he didn't have the best game today, I think Alvarado just wasn't a good pairing for him. I think maybe you go Orozco, Beasler, maybe Cameron Beasler in the middle.
All right. Uh-huh.
Something very different than you saw tonight.
Oh, absolutely. I think, and if you were listening to the Rabble cast with me and Juan Arango, you know, Ventura Alvarado is normally a left back on the back line for Club America. So he was put into, out of position. And, you know, at first, I thought Alvarado had a pretty good matchup against Hulk. But once again, he lost him in that goal. And like I said, okay, fine. Hulk gets a great opportunity to put in the rebound, okay? There's nothing you can do about that. But afterwards, in that entire first half, maybe one or two opportunities, they had no creative ideas to go forward. They just held possession. They're trying to find seams. They're trying to be meticulous in the midfield. They're trying to find an open seam. And all Brazil did was sit back, let... You know, they're going to counter, they're going to pick up, and when they did, either it was in the back of the net or the penalty that got called for Neymar when Jeff Cameron took him down, or they're going to get close to the goal, but they just miss, or it's just the save by Brad Guzan. Once again, mentality going forward did not show. They did not have basically a killer instinct to try to go forward, to try and create, and even if they did do something, it just wasn't there. Danny Williams, the only player since subbing in for Alejandro Bedoya, Cardiff, showed fight, showed determination.
And no
one was there to make a freaking run to at least set up a goal scoring opportunity.
Yeah, and I'm glad Danny Williams is back in the team. He's been playing very well for Reading in the championship. But again, it took him a while to get back into the team. Klinsmann has his favorites. And I have to say, it looked like a bunch of guys. I think Jermaine Jones, he's ready to go back to the Revolution. Or he doesn't have to go back, right, because they're playing at the Revolution State. But, you know, he's ready to join back up with his club mates. Jeff Cameron, ready to go back to Stoke. Alvarado ready to go back to Club America. I think these guys, there's something wrong in the camp, and I think they're all ready to get back to their clubs. And I saw that after about minute 30. These guys are like, okay, you know, it's Tuesday. I think Stoke City actually has a game on Saturday in the Premier League. I think Cameron was psychologically on the plane. Tim Howard is thinking, why did I come out here? I didn't come out here to be a backup. I could just have stayed at Everton during this break. Why do I need to be associated with this sort of thing? Well, of course, he can deny he was associated with it because he didn't get on the pitch. But, you know, I think psychologically these guys were gone. There's something not right in the camp. There's something I think our guys are now seeing coming to the national team as a chore. It used to be the opposite. There's something very wrong because they quit. They quit today. That was the most – we've never seen a U.S. team with so little fight. And in front of a home crowd – Graham, you play in Foxborough, you play Brazil or Portugal there, you're going to get a lot of fans of that, the other team. But well, you play Brazil anywhere in the U.S., you're going to get a lot of Brazilian fans. But this is a situation where I think the United States is at a point in time where we have seen big soccer nations when the wrong coaching appointment is made, and you've got a lot of guys who are professionals who value their club side. And it's part of the maturation of a soccer nation, a football-playing nation. Check out on national team duty. We're seeing it with the Dutch right now.
Yeah.
I mean, we're seeing how what a joke they are. We started the game against Turkey the other day. You know, when you have all this, you look at their squad, well, how could this team struggle? How could Iceland finish ahead of this team? How could this, which is what you think, right? How's Iceland 9 points ahead of the Netherlands? But eventually, there comes a time when guys check out on the national team because it's their first obligation is to their clubs. And, you know, right now, Premier League just started. Bundesliga just started. Those guys are fighting for their positions. The guys in MLS are pushing for the playoffs. And I think there's nothing fun about being in the national team right now for these guys. So the Gold Cup was a chore. The team was together all summer. There's something very wrong in the camp.
It really is.
That's
yes.
What I saw today. That's my great takeaway from it. These guys are running to get, whether they play in MLS or England or Germany or Mexico, these guys are probably, as we speak right now, they're all on their way to the airport in Providence or Boston, whichever one they're flying out of, to get the heck out of town, get out of Dodge, get away from the national team. And that's, I guess that goes back to the coach. And I think it goes to the lack of leadership and vision from this federation. We can get into that if you want to.
Absolutely. Oh, Jamaica just scored!
Yep, goal.
2-0 Jamaica in this second leg, and right now they will advance if this score holds.
Wow,
in the 89th minute.
Bad clearance by the Nicaraguan defender. Former Fort Lauderdale striker Lance Lang that tearing down the wing there. Let's see who got the goal for them. Somebody just got a red card?
I don't know. I'm seeing a replay right now.
Simon Dawkins, former San Jose Earthquake player, then moved to Aston Villa, got the goal, but there seems to be some sort of fight going on.
Heartbreak for Nicaragua. Jamaica is coming back. It is a red card. Number 6, Simon Dawkins, number 18, makes it 2-0. Number 6 for Jamaica has been sent off. Let's go ahead and take a look and see who got that. Number 6 is Lance Lang, the FC Edmonton attacker, is sent off, and Jamaica's down to 10 men. Is that going to be a problem for the Reggae Boys? But
it may be. I wonder what Lance did. You know, he's a guy I know personally. So played here in Fort Lauderdale for a number of years. One of the best players in the NASL. Obviously, it had to do with the post-goal celebration. BN hasn't shown us the. I don't know what happened.
I don't know either.
The goal stands. Lance will take that red card if it means they go through. Because as I said, this is essentially a Jamaica B team or an A-minus team, right? They didn't take this. I don't know what the deal was, but they only called in about 8 to 10 guys that they had on their Gold Cup runner-up squad, right? And Jamaica doesn't have the depth that Mexico or the U.S. or Costa Rica has. Once you get Once you're calling in guys from your domestic league, which is basically an amateur league, to be honest with you, then you're running the risk. I mean, they didn't take Nicaragua seriously, and they still are going to have to hang on here down a man. So
yep.
Maybe let's watch this, and then we'll get back to dealing with the shambles that is the U.S. after this is over.
And we are in second half stoppage
time. They haven't put the stoppage time up.
No, they haven't put it up yet. I don't know how much stoppage time is going to be on there right now, but right now Jamaica is leading 2-0 in the second leg. They are now leading on aggregate 4-3. So as of right now, the away goals rule has been taken away from Nicaragua. We'll see if there is going to be another opportunity for Nicaragua. Will there
Nicaragua
be a corner?
Gets a goal, they go through. Right?
That's right.
They still have 3 away goals. So
they still have 3 away goals. But
they
right
have an opportunity
now,
here. Maybe,
it's a very big opportunity. We'll see what happens here. We're in the second minute of second half stoppage time. Nicaragua is going to take the corner real quickly. But once again, Cardick, back to the United States, it's just been an absolute terrible moment where, okay, it's a friendly. But the point is that you use these friendlies to assess where your team is when you're ready to take on competition matches. They have this playoff against Mexico in October, and then all of a sudden in November, they need to play and start World Cup qualifying. This is the earliest that the United States has started World Cup qualifying in a very long time. They never expected to start this early in November of 2015. I mean, there is a serious concern here.
They're in a position where they're going to qualify. Well, they're going to get to the hex regardless, right? Because of the group they've been handed. They've been handed perhaps the easiest group in any confederation anywhere. I don't know. You and I did the show right after the draw. We focused more on Europe because the UEFA groups are more interesting. But the U.S. group, it seemed like it might have even been fixed. It was so weak compared to the other two groups in CONCACAF, which may give Jurgen Klinsmann some time. Although I don't know if he has much more time after what we've seen recently. But it's so there's no urgency with that yet. But when the U.S. gets to the hex, they're not good enough to get one of those top three spots in CONCACAF right now, from what I see.
Right now, no. Right now,
so
no.
So that means they'd be playing in a fourth in a playoff. Because right now, I think Mexico's certainly better. We'll see how if Jamaica advances. They're trying to close this out. But Jamaica has a lot of guys, as I said, missing. If they get there, they probably have as good a team as the U.S. They've already proven that. Panama's as good as the U.S. Costa Rica's as good as the U.S. Honduras is not as good as the U.S. right now. But, but actually, again, the U.S. is a team that has some major psychological issues.
They do. They really do. And they need to fix it. I mean,
Jamaica
look,
has advanced,
know,
it looks like.
Well, not yet. Unless you're ahead of me on the feed, the final whistle has not blown yet. But let me just say this right now, Cardick, is that, you know, in the game against Peru, they coughed up the ball way too easily, you know, even though they won 2-1 on a penalty by Josie and that rebound shot that he got a great cross from Giassi Zardes. I still didn't feel confident enough in that match for the United States, even though they won it. And now it's official. Jamaica, they will advance to the semifinals.
So Jamaica goes through. Wilfred Schaefer is still complaining to the official. I think he's unhappy at the Lance Lang sending off. However, Jamaica advances. They'll be in a group with Haiti, Panama, Costa Rica. Now, look, that's a group of death in CONCACAF.
Yep.
I mean, any of those. I mean, I think right now Costa Rica, Panama are the top two, but I don't know. I mean, Jamaica is very good, and I think Haiti has played exceptionally well. And Haiti didn't have their full team. James Marceline, actually, with Fort Lauderdale, who was great in Gold Cup, had some travel issues. He wasn't able to join them, but they were still able to advance to this stage. So that's a very tough group. The United States, Jurgen Klinsmann is very fortunate. He doesn't have his team in that group because the United States might not get out of that group. So getting back to this, I think the reality of this situation now is that the United States is in a place psychologically where there's a real crisis of confidence going on. Now, I don't like to look at results in friendly. I don't take them very seriously, which is why I don't give Klinsmann that much credit for beating Italy and beating Germany and beating Mexico in Azteca. So those are friendlies. But I look at the overall performances. I look at the body language of the players, the commitment level. And tonight was an embarrassment because, you know, whenever you play Brazil, it's kind of a showcase game, right? And it's important for the growth of the sport in this country because, as I said, I think there are about 10 national teams right now that are better than Brazil. Argentina, Belgium, Germany, Spain, Chile, just to name a few, Colombia. But still in the eyes of the average sports fan who doesn't follow this sport the way we do, Brazil is the gold standard, right? There's certain gold standards. Manchester United, they all know. Barcelona, they all know. They all know Brazil. And so you have an opportunity on home soil to at least be competitive with them. And instead, you get humiliated. As I said, the scoreline flattered the United States. You get embarrassed, and your guys quit. And we've never seen American players quit before. That was one thing that we could always count on. Maybe we don't have the technical ability. Maybe we don't have the tactical awareness. Maybe we don't have the roots in this game, but our guys will run people ragged for 90 minutes. They will never quit. They'll go, go, go. The fitness level of American players, never question. Now we're seeing performances. I mean, I have never seen anything like this tonight. Again, we've had score lines like this before, although really we haven't had very many, particularly on home soil, on American soil. But this performance tonight has got to be, as I said, going back to the early 90s, the worst performance I've seen from the United States in on the big stage. You know, you have these occasional games in Gold Cup or some qualifier down in the Caribbean or Central America where we've looked really bad. It's been a game in Guatemala or in Costa Rica under these, you know, very tough circumstances. But we've never had a game where, you know, you raise your level when you play Brazil, and you're playing it on American soil. We've never had a game like this. It was humiliating. So
it really
now the
was.
Question is, this is the final match before a one-game, one-off playoff with incredible amount on the line. And you know why there's an incredible amount on the line? I don't think the Confederations Cup is that big a deal. You know that. Other people don't think the Confederations Cup is a big deal. A lot of people in the media don't think the Confederations Cup is a big deal. But you know who said it was a big deal? You know who said we have to qualify for the Confederations Cup? The manager did, Jurgen Klinsmann.
Yep.
And now,
yes, he did.
We're in a position where we're not going to qualify if we don't win that game.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so let's talk about his job. Maybe that's the next step, and we have to talk about Sunil Gulati. I mean, this is very, very bad time.
I'll be honest with you, Kartik. As much as I think we're both in agreement that both men's jobs are on the line, I don't see any pressure towards them. I don't see any pressure towards Gulati. I see no pressure towards Klinsmann. What's going to happen is simple. They're both going to keep their jobs, and nothing is ever going to be on the line for these two gentlemen at all. That's the truth. Never, ever will these two gentlemen be, you know, if Klinsmann's job is on the line, it's when his contract expires. That's it. That's it.
You know, no, that's what's obvious here, because we're not in that group that Jamaica just qualified for. We're not in that group. We're in the group with St. Vincent. We're in a group of Guatemala. We're in a group of Trinidad, who's Trinidad's pretty good, but that, I mean, we'll be first or second in the group, right? I mean, I think we'll go to Port of Spain and lose this time, because I think they're as good as we are at this point. And they showed it in the Gold Cup. I mean, they had more points at the group stage than we did, and they were unlucky against Panama on the penalties. Yep. But so the point is, he will get through that group. And the attitude from U.S. soccer at that point will be, all is okay. Look, we're making progress, blah, blah, blah. Then we'll hit the hex and problems will start. And we don't want to be like Mexico or now like Holland in the Euros, shuffling through coaches in the middle at critical stages of qualifying. I mean, the Dutch made this decision Goose Heating stepped down, left them with Danny Blind to come in for this Iceland game, and they got beat at home, and Arjen Robben got hurt, and now they got went to Turkey and got killed. We could be in a similar position in the Hex, where things are not going well, we're not going to qualify, and Klinsmann gets sacked, and then we have to bring in someone else. Maybe it's Peter Vermees. I mean, I don't know who it is. Maybe it's one of our assistants. Maybe it's Andy Herzog. And then we have a trip maybe to Mexico coming, or a trip to Costa Rica, and we get beat 3-0, like Colin just got beat by Turkey. I'm envisioning these doomsday scenarios now. I hate to do that, Daniel.
Me too.
I mean, because I've never thought this way about us.
I know.
Now we have to start thinking this way.
I know.
Based on what we're seeing.
We have to. We have to. And this is the growing part of being a soccer nation now, is that, hey, listen, we have to talk about this because this could actually come up. And we'll have to wait and see what's going to happen down the road. Obviously, what's going to happen in October and what's going to happen in November. Kartik, listen, thank you very much for joining me again. And definitely love to have you on once again. We'll talk about everything that's going on with this national team, because right now we are at a stage where it's panic mode, and it's just at a point where it's...
Yeah, we're close to a panic mode. Yep.
We
well,
are
thank
very
you,
close
Daniel.
To panic. You're welcome, Kartik. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being on the show tonight. We'll talk to you next time next week. Bye-bye for now, everybody. Thank you for listening. Enjoy your football.